Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. It's On You by Nick Chater and George Lowenstein is a nonfiction critique of a popular style of policymaking associated with behavioral economics and nudge theory. The book argues that many high-profile efforts to solve complex social problems by tweaking individual choices have encouraged an overly individualistic view of responsibility. Rather than treating issues like climate change, health, retirement insecurity, or consumer harms as primarily the result of flawed personal decisions, the authors contend that institutions, markets, and corporate incentives often shape the options people face and the outcomes they get. A central purpose of the book is to show how the focus on personal behavior can become a convenient storyline for powerful actors, because it shifts attention away from regulation, rule changes, and structural reforms, drawing on the author's experience inside behavioral science and public policy debates. It challenges readers to ask when behavior-focused tools help and when they distract from deeper solutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the I frame versus the S frame, who is made responsible. A core idea in the book is the contrast between the I frame and the S frame. The I frame is an individual frame that treats social problems as the product of personal bias, weak willpower, or poor planning, and therefore proposes interventions aimed at changing individual choices. The S frame is a system frame that emphasizes how laws, product design, market structure, and institutional incentives determine what choices are available and how costly mistakes become. Chater and Lowenstein argue that modern policy discussion too often defaults to the I frame because it feels actionable and politically safe. Even when the main levers are structural, the I frame can also be rhetorically powerful if outcomes are attributed to personal responsibility. Then reform can be replaced by advice, education, and small choice architecture changes. The authors do not claim that individual behavior is irrelevant. Instead, they press for a more accurate diagnosis of causality, where individual decision-making is understood as nested inside systems that can either protect or exploit human limitations. Secondly, the limits of nudges as solutions to big societal problems. The book scrutinizes the promise that nudges can deliver major progress on problems that are large in scale and deeply entrenched. Nudges are typically low-cost adjustments to how options are presented, such as defaults, reminders, or simplified information. Chater and Lowenstein argue that while these tools can sometimes shift choices in specific contexts, they are frequently oversold as substitutes for policy that changes incentives and constraints. Their critique is aimed less at the idea that nudges can never work, and more at the way enthusiasm for them can crowd out harder measures like regulation, enforcement, taxation, or redesign of markets. When nudges are presented as the primary path to change, they can imply that failure is the public's fault for not choosing better. Rather than a sign that the environment is stacked against good outcomes, the authors position nudges as, at best, complements to system reform, and warn against treating them as a silver bullet for issues that require collective action and institutional accountability. Thirdly, corporate influence and the shifting of blame onto consumers. A recurring theme is how corporate and industry interests can benefit from narratives that emphasize individual choice over system responsibility. When harms are framed as the result of consumer mistakes, the policy response tends to focus on better decisions rather than tighter rules for products, advertising, pricing, or externalities. The authors highlight that it is not only corporations that spread these narratives. Policymakers and experts can also find the I-frame attractive because it promises improvement without confrontation. The book links this pattern to public relations strategies that stress personal responsibility, which can reduce pressure for regulation and liability. In this account, behavioral science can be pulled into a supporting role when research and interventions focus narrowly on micro-level choice tweaks while leaving the structure of markets untouched. The point is not that all business is malicious or that all individual responsibility is fictitious, but that incentives matter. Powerful actors have reasons to prefer solutions that place the burden on individuals, especially when systemic changes would reduce profits or require costly redesign. Fourthly, behavioral science self-critique and the politics of policy design. Chater and Lowenstein write as insiders to behavioral economics and behavioral public policy, and the book includes an explicit reckoning with how the field has been used. They describe how an academic focus on biases and bounded rationality can unintentionally encourage a view of the public as the primary problem to be fixed. Once that view is adopted, policy naturally leans toward interventions that steer choices rather than reforms that change the rules of the game. The authors also emphasize that policy tools are never neutral. Selecting an I-frame intervention is itself a political choice because it determines whose behavior is targeted and whose power is left intact. The book therefore calls for behavioral scientists to broaden their scope studying how institutions can be designed to align private incentives with public welfare and to protect people from predictable exploitation. This is a shift from asking how to get individuals to choose better within a flawed environment to asking how to build environments in which the better choice is feasible, affordable, and not systematically undermined. Lastly, from fixing people to fixing systems, what a system approach implies, the book's practical direction is a rebalancing toward system-level reforms. An S-frame approach starts with the recognition that many outcomes are not simply the accumulation of personal decisions, but are shaped by infrastructure, regulation, workplace rules, product standards, and the distribution of bargaining power. In areas such as environmental damage, public health, and financial security, the authors argue that durable progress typically requires coordinated policy and institutional design rather than expecting millions of people to self-manage their way out of structural pressures. That can mean policies that change defaults at the institutional level, but also policies that directly reshape incentives and constraints, such as standards, oversight, or pricing mechanisms that reflect social costs. The book also suggests that democratic engagement matters. System change requires public understanding of where responsibility truly lies and a willingness to demand reforms that may face organized resistance. The S-frame does not eliminate personal agency. It makes agency meaningful by creating conditions where good choices are not constantly penalized and harmful options are not continually promoted. In conclusion, It's On You is best suited to readers who are interested in how public policy gets framed and why certain solutions become popular even when their impact is limited. Policymakers, social scientists, behavioral researchers, journalists, and advocacy-minded readers will gain the most. But the argument is accessible to any informed general audience curious about why problems like climate risk, health outcomes, or financial insecurity are so often treated as individual failings. The main benefit is conceptual clarity. The I-frame and S-frame distinction gives readers a way to spot when a proposed fix is shifting responsibility downward rather than addressing the rules and incentives that generate harm. Intellectually, the book stands out because it is not a generic attack on behavioral economics. It is a critique from prominent behavioral scientists who take behavioral insights seriously while insisting that choice architecture is not a replacement for institutional reform. Compared with many books that celebrate nudges as smart governance, this one focuses on the political economy of why nudges are appealing and on the risk that they become a convenient detour around tougher, system-level change. If you would like to support Nick Chater, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.